Acts chapter 8. You know, this is a famous chapter in the Bible where Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ to them. Okay? Now, after Philip preached Christ, he arose and went in verse 27. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge, had come to Jerusalem to worship. This eunuch had come to Jerusalem for worship. And you know, the lots of Ethiopian Jews, they seem to have some connection with Israel. They were coming there to worship. So he was returning, this Ethiopian Jew, and he was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Okay? So now the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. All right? And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. He was reading out loud. Okay? And he said to him, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you are reading? Are you listening to me? Now, this is a question that you may even wonder, is it necessary to ask? Is it necessary to ask? Do you understand what you are reading? But many times, we read books, we don't understand what we are reading. And that is what the Bible calls seals, the seals of a book. Like the book is sealed, it's shut. Even though you have it, you can't get into it. You are not being blessed by the book because it's sealed to you. So he asked him, understandest thou what thou readest? And verse 31, he gave a great revelation there. He said, how can I understand what I'm reading? Except some man should guide me. Do you see? How can I understand what I'm reading except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, there are many things you will not really understand until somebody guides you to understand. Now, remember that riches are given to men of understanding. Remember the difference, when you understand the difference between wisdom and understanding, by understanding the work of a nurse and the work of a doctor. They both learn the same things. But you give more money to the doctor because he understands far more on the same topic. So a doctor can earn a lot of money and a nurse will earn very little. Because, not because she hasn't studied physiology or internal medicine or ophthalmology as a doctor has, but the doctor has studied it longer and has a deeper understanding of it. Okay? Now, or for instance, you and I, if we've watched a couple of films, we will probably think we can fly a plane. Huh? How many have watched a film where there was somebody who didn't know how to fly and he was flying the plane, jumbo? What are some of those films? Which? Air Force One. Passenger 57. And what other film is there like that? Snakes on the Plane. But you've got to go to piloting school for about 4 years before you can become a pilot. Even though you can watch it on a film. Because even me, I mean, I think I can fly a plane. Look, isn't there something in the middle that you pull forward and back? How many have seen that thing? Forward means it's going. And this one means it's coming down. That's all. It's quite simple. And before the time when they stopped allowing people to go into the cockpit, I used to go to the cockpit all the time. I always wanted to be a pilot. You know, like in my imagination. But not in real life. I'm not serious about being a pilot. Just like some people are not serious about the ministry. You just have it in the thigh. It's a nice idea, but there's no. I'm not committed. I have no commitment to this vision. So I've been in the cockpit, landing, taking off, everything. The middle of the air, whatever. Different types of planes. Yeah. I've watched it. How many would like me to pilot your next flight? You see, you don't want to choose me. Because you can see that my understanding is very limited. Very small on the same subject. So you want somebody with deeper understanding, and riches are given to people who understand things deeply. Riches are given to people who understand things deeply. That's why you mustn't just read a book once. You have to read sometimes the same book for more than 10 years. And you'll be reading it again and again and again. Yes, when you read a book, when the book is blessing you, it hurts you that the book is ending. When the book is ending, you say, oh no, don't end. As you are getting to that, so no, it cannot be that it's ending. Which means you have to start all over again. And sometimes you have to put the book down, and after a year, you pick it up again, and you start all over again. Yeah. Right now, I'm reading a book that I've read many times. That I as soon as I started the first page, I started to receive some blessing that I was surprised. So he says, how can I, except some man should guide me? So he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Verse 32. The place of scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Verse 35. Listen to this. I want you to circle a particular word, and I'll tell you the word I want you to circle. Okay? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Circle the word preached. You need to hear preaching to understand what you are reading. You need to hear preaching to understand what you are reading. You need to hear preaching to understand what you are reading. That is why I have tried so hard to organize these different ones. There are several of them. The Makane Extra, and the Makane Iron, which are all the Iron Sharpeneth Iron conferences, are all on this, all audio. You need to hear preaching about something to understand what you are reading. I'm telling you. That is why, see, people don't understand the complementary role that preaching plays to reading. Because the reason I'm pointing out to you that I'm actually preaching from a book, because I could preach to you mysteriously and then you say, wow, that's powerful. And maybe you go and discover it later. But I'm trying to help you to read the book. Because I'm trying to help you to have a greater understanding. I'm not trying to be impressive. The more mysterious I am, the more impressive I would be. But I'm not trying to impress you. I'm trying to help you to understand and to read and understand. Because riches comes to men of understanding. That's a fact. That's a fact. And it's the same thing in ministry. The more wider your understanding is, the greater riches and greater blessings you have. So Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture which he had already read and preached unto him Jesus. Verse 36. And as they went on, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, there is water. What does hinder me from being baptized?" So he had now received the understanding. So he read and he didn't have the faintest idea of what he was reading, till Philip came along and preached. So I want to recommend to you all to make sure that you get these ones. Whatever the price is, everything that we are giving to you is under, way underpriced. One pastor bought a book and he said, "Look, I have three of these books, and the three books cost about 800 rands I bought. Now we are giving you all these books for less than that as a gift." All these are gifts. So don't think about everybody shall, because the reason why pastors are supposed to have libraries is because at different stages, and depending on what is happening, you need certain books. And if Almighty God is sitting in his throne, we don't know what and he's holding a book. How about you? Huh? And the angel, that big angel, is coming to earth not with any fire or anything, but he's holding a book, a little book. Open. Think about it. No, but perhaps the greatest thing that you can understand will be that few of us have had visions where we see Jesus. But we know God, and we know about God through a book. Is this book we've been reading since childhood that have made us, the little that we know about God and the small approach we are making towards God is through the book, the Bible, the 66 books of the Bible. So brothers and sisters, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached. Now listen, one thing I know is that I found is that many people have not developed the culture of listening to messages. Like it's not something that's part of your life, you know. But I want to say that everybody here, workers, pastors, if you don't have that as a habit, there is something deficient about you. You may not know. No, there are some habits you should have. You wake up, you brush your teeth. It's an important habit to have. And the absence of that habit is going to cause a lot of things that you don't have. So, to have a bath, especially in the evening, is important to bath. In the morning too, but in the evening. A lot of ladies don't bath, and especially in the evening. Yes. All my stories are true. True. You see them looking beautiful and everything. They've gone out the whole day, wee-weeing, poo-pooing, doing so many things. And when they come, they don't bath. Yes. And when they come out to the church, hey, they look very nice. And they don't like bathing. And you need more to bath than even the brothers because of your architecture, your anatomy. Yes. You don't want me to say what I'm saying, you see. I'll say it. Should I start talking about certain things? It's very early in the day. Let me go on. I am sharing with you about the determinants. And I'm telling you that listening to preaching is very important in understanding what thou readest. So that habit of, like, I'm a preacher, so I listen to preaching, please, if it is not a habit yet, today marks the beginning of that habit in your life. Amen. I can always tell people who listen to preaching. Yes. And when I say listen to preaching, it's listening over and over. Even yesterday alone, from the morning to the evening, a lot of things have been said. If you don't think about it, if you don't get a chance to listen to it, you think you've heard everything. No. It is the continued listening that opens your understanding. Then you see that a book like this, you are getting a deeper revelation of it. So make sure all of you get all of this. You don't even know, you don't have to know what it is. You just get it and have it. When it is there, you will start to find out, what is this? Let me listen to this. Let me listen to this. Let me listen to this. And you will see that your ministry starts to change. Even the way you preach starts to change. And you see, a preacher, your whole life depends on what you can preach and how you preach. You never get somebody successful in the ministry who doesn't know how to preach properly. And some of you, unfortunately, your preaching is not good, but no one is bold enough to say it to you. Everybody comes to tell you after, oh, I was really blessed, that was powerful. But I learned long ago not to listen to that. Because sometimes my worst messages, when I have a very bad experience preaching, and somebody will come and say, this was the best, I'm so blessed. And sometimes I'll listen to people who preach, and as they preach, you can't understand what they are saying to the very end. And after the person finished preaching, people will come and shake them. Oh, God bless you, it's just powerful. And I know they are lying. So if you follow that, you will never develop. Because people will be praising you when they shouldn't praise you. And people are wicked. They will never tell you the truth. But this message, we didn't understand what you said. You couldn't get what you were preaching. And your preaching is dry. So one of the ways you can assess your preaching is look out for yawning people. Yes. When you are preaching, as if they want to swallow a frog. Watch it and use it to guide yourself. That my preaching is dead. Like people want to die. They want to sleep. So that if no one ever tells you it's good, it's not good. Look at the people's faces. Look at people's faces when you are preaching. Don't preach above them. Jesus said, feed my sheep, not feed my giraffes. Don't feed giraffes, you feed sheep. Look at the sheep and feed them. And as you see their faces, it reveals to you that you are in business or you are out. Yes. One of the things that guides me is the people's faces as I'm preaching. You can see that they are alive. They are still listening. You can carry on. Yes. Okay? Some of you, I tell you, your preaching is not good. Yes. I tell you, your sermon is a killer. Anybody who cannot sleep must come and attend your service. All his sleeping problems will go away by coming to your church. Amen. One day a pastor was preaching and somebody died. So they called the ambulance to come for the dead person. When the ambulance came, they entered the church like, who is dead? They couldn't see because several people were asleep. So they just took the first person. And the first person they took woke up. And they realized that he was not the dead person. They took the second. As they were carrying, he also woke up, said, leave me alone.
They took it was the 10th person before they found a dead person in the church. So many people were asleep. And the pastor was preaching, he doesn't know that they are sleeping. So please, listen to preaching. Everybody, take every one of this, because you don't know when we will have this available again here in South Africa. Well, we have sown a lot of seeds and we are coming to the end of a particular season. So it may not be that easy to get. And learn to listen. Listen. It's a very important habit. Yeah. It's an important habit. Everybody say habit.
Habit.
Yeah. You just... And now because of phones and iPads and all that, you just put it on my phone. I have thousands of... So many messages. I'm listening to them all the time. It's on. Yeah. My phone is now a major, it has a lot of messages. And then your phone should be loaded with, in categories, it's there. If you don't know how to do it, get a young person who knows everything to do it for you. Are you still around?
Yes.
So back to 9-11, please. 9-11. Ecclesiastes 9-11. Don't forget, very, very important. Okay? I saw and I returned, and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. Speed. We need a lot of speed in ministry. Amen. What I'm saying, do it quickly. Quickly. Don't wait. 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 Oh, I'm doing this in March. Everything is now. I saw that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. Now, your skill in doing something causes people to choose you. People want to listen to Michael Jackson because of his skill in singing and in dancing. Is it not true? People want to listen to Joyous because of their skill in singing and performing. People choose men of skill for everything. Singers, politicians, Obama. People want to listen to him talking. He can talk and explain everything to you. Everything he can explain it. Is it not true? People choose footballers. You can play, you can dribble, you can score goals. They choose you and they pay you. Drogba and Shabalala. Who is that? Is a player here, Shabalala. And these people are chosen and given a lot of money because of their skill. Because you see, people, you sometimes have to ask yourself, why does a person become rich? The answer to why a person becomes rich is often a little different from what we think. Is it his school? Is it this? Is it this? Is it that? And you realize that it's mostly found in this verse.
Hallelujah.
There's something about the person that gives the person some skill. And preaching is a skill. Preaching is a skill, it's an art. How to preach at a crusade is an art. How to preach to pastors is an art. How to preach for a short time is an art. How to preach for a long time is an art. People think I can't preach for a short time. I'm a master preacher of short sermons. Yes, master. Because I've been to countries where they don't like long sermons. Yes, I've been to countries where they don't want long sermons. In Korea, they tell you your preaching is 15 minutes and the interpretation is 15 minutes. In total, 30 minutes.
and you dare not go over time. You dare not. Yeah. I know how to preach the same message. And when it comes like that, it's like a holiday for me. So wow. 30 minutes and I'm finished. Wow, hallelujah. I go and rest. Break time. You must know how to preach short, long, depend on what they want. How it works. All right? It's a skill. How to preach to unbelievers. How to preach to this group. How to preach to that group. That also brings favor. And you get chosen because you are a man of skill. You become a darling boy. And people start to choose you. They'll go to a shop and say, no, I want... That's why people buy books by the author. They don't buy books by the title. They say, what? I know, is there any book by this person? Yeah, and just anybody who reads knows. In fact, one time I had a publisher, just for a short time. He told me, your name must be bigger on your book. Because people buy books by the name of the person, not by the title. So that same person, once he's written something, I want to have it. It's by the skill. And there's a skill of writing. Some people can write, and some cannot write. Some can speak. And the writing skill makes also people be chosen. You know? So skill is what causes men to be favored. All right? The skill of helping somebody. Some people are good at helping. You never feel the pressure. You never feel pressure of money or something. You have to promote the person, or as the person is helping you, you must also let the person preach. Otherwise, it's not going to be okay. He also wants to shine. Hey. So, one of the great skills that we are studying now is this skill, the art of ministry. Like, how to practice ministry. Ministry must be taught about also, because it is what we are into here. Whether you are full-time or whether you are just a lay person, it is a skill that you must learn. And that is what we are doing. Amen. Now, how to be a good personal assistant? How to be a good personal assistant? Turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. Not everybody has the skill of being a good assistant. Some people are better off far away. They shouldn't come near because they don't know how to be near you. Is that not so? Now, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 1, in the third year of Jehoiakim came Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon, of Babylon to Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, all right, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. He should bring some of the guys who had been captured. Okay? Are you there? Now, this is the qualification of the people that he wanted to come to be brought in. Look at it. He says, children in whom was no blemish. Okay? Well favored. Again, you see, favor. Like people choose you. People choose you. Listen. The reason why the most beautiful girls in the church are not necessarily the ones who get married. It's because favor is given to men of skill. Like, you need to have some kind of a skill, not just your beauty or your niceness. You need to have some kind of a skill. You see, before you are favored and chosen. Yeah. So you could be there and you'd be an outstanding beauty. Your hips are, and your body is like a Coca-Cola bottle. Do you get what I'm saying? Not everybody has a Coca-Cola bottle. Some have a canned Coke shape. Are you with me? Some are like a canned Coke. But when you have, that is why in all beauty, I'm sure in Miss South Africa, they ask them to speak. Yeah, because when you speak, as soon as you speak, sometimes your beauty even goes down. Yeah. Just when you open your mouth, say that this person is empty. Yeah. Anyway, well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge. Now you see the determinants, they are just the same things. Understanding science, okay, and here carefully is the point we are looking for, and such has had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. Not everybody can come to the king's palace. Some people, when they come close to you, it's a disaster. They'll start looking at everything, snooping around. Yes. I once brought somebody near to a place that we were, and the person went straight to look at the electricity bill to see who is the owner of the house. That was the first thing that the person did. It is not somebody who needs to come close, snooping around, what is this and who owns this? Who is this place for? What do you do here? It's not the right person. Better off at a distance. Yeah. You come to the king's palace. I once went somewhere to a certain country whose name begins with an M. and we were having dinner. And this was a person I didn't really know so well. But later, then the person made a comment about the food that she has seen, that this is the food that I like because of something that at the table, we are in a restaurant. And I said to myself, look at this person. You have been brought just one day to sit there, we are eating. Then after that, you have decided what I like. So he likes chicken. He likes this. He likes shrimps. He likes meat. He likes whatever. Just one day that we sat with you. So many people don't have the ability to work in the king's palace. Are you there? So that is it. You say, such as had ability in them. Yes, the ability was in them to stand in the king's palace. Yeah. Some don't have that ability. Their minds don't work correctly. Yeah. One day I invited a brother somewhere to a place. I was outside my country. And when he came to the house, the first question was, who does this house belong to? What? Ask your initial, what do you call it? Who does this place belong to? Yes. I said, well, it doesn't belong to me. But immediately I found him odd. this somebody has been brought to a place that he shouldn't come here. You even feel uneasy. You feel uneasy. Yeah. There are some people who should not know what you earn. They should never know what you earn. One guy, he was, came to the pastor's office, and I think they had finished doing some salaries and so on. All my stories are true. Yeah. And he had there were these slips for salaries. And then it happened that the pastor's salary slip or whatever was also there. When he saw it, he went out, he said, no. The pastor is chopping our money. And that was a mistake for such a person to be allowed to come into the king's palace to ever even see what is happening there. Because you cannot understand it. There are some people, I tell you, what they know worries them. Worries them. Do you remember in Revelations, I was showing you yesterday, he said in chapter 5, he said that they were looking for him. No one was found worthy to look upon. Look at it. To look thereon. It's like you are not worthy to look or to see. Certain things you are not worthy to see. You are not worthy. It's like you are not qualified to see this thing. You should never see it. Yes. You are not qualified to look thereon. You are not worthy to open this door. You are not worthy to open this door. You are not worthy to read certain checks, see certain invoices. You are not worthy to look at certain things or to see with your naked eyes. Or to see somebody even eating or resting. Are you there or you are leaving? Yeah. Ask your neighbor, are you worthy to look at certain things? What did they say? What did they say? Are they worthy? You don't know, isn't it? Okay, how to be a good personal assistant, because not everybody, okay, I'll do that, Lord. Not everybody should. Now, notice 1 John chapter 1 before we continue. Some people are good at being personal assistants. They are good at seeing things that don't destroy them. Like it even makes them even better. And John, the little John, Jesus' John, when Jesus was going on the cross, he looked at John and entrusted his personal mother to her. He said, "This is your mother. This is your son." And Peter's, Jesus' mother moved to stay with John. Oh, I'm wrong. Yeah. My personal thing I have on earth, my mom, I'll give it to John. Now look at John, 1 John. This is how John spoke. That which was from the beginning, okay? He's talking about Jesus. Which we have heard. We heard him. Huh? Which we have seen. which we have looked upon. You see, there must be a difference between seeing and looking upon. Like I look deeply into it. I look deeply. Deeply. We saw, we looked. In other words, there are people who look and then they have another look.
Thank you.
I saw and I looked again to see what I was seeing. And then our hands have handled physically. None of these things destroyed him. He was so close, but he did not destroy him. He became more trust. You see, it's the way your mind works. There are some people, when they see something, then it goes, whose house is this? That's the first question. Another person says, oh, this is a wonderful place. I'm so glad the man of God is in this place. But another person says, whose house? And how did you come about? What is the bill? Who's to? Straight away, that's your mind. So if your mind works that way, immediately you are disqualified. So you can know by that that you should not be. So now ask your neighbor, are you qualified to be a personal assistant and work in the king's house? Check and ask the person. He can now answer you.
God help me.
Huh? That which we have seen, which was from the beginning, okay? We have heard him, heard. We have seen, and we have looked upon, and we have handled and physically touched. Huh? Verse 2. For the life was manifested. We have seen it. And bear witness. What are we bearing with it? And show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and which was manifested unto us. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. Verse 4. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. We have seen, we have heard, and we are declaring to you that this is eternal life that we have seen. So this is how his mind works. What he saw, it was now greater. But some people, they see and they handle and say, no, it was just, no. How does your mind work? Those of you who have been in this Grace Bible Church, you have been with Bishop Mosa. Grace Bible Church members, raise your hands. Raise your hands. I want to see your hand very nicely. Good. Good. Lighthouse members, let me see your hands. Lighthouse people. Yeah. Good. Thank you. You see, you've been here. You see your pastor. As you see, you look upon. The longer you stay, the closer you get. You see, your mind must be thinking correctly. Otherwise, you go off and you don't benefit from big power. It's a great blessing to ever be close. You must be filled with admiration. The only ones, you know, that I had a chance to shake Papa Higgins' hand. When I went near him, I shook his nice, big, soft hands. I remember. And he had a nice, big pot belly. When I saw the pot belly, I said, I would like to have one of these. That which I've said, I admire, it's nice to me. Everything about the person is nice to me. Yes. I'd like to have one of these rather than thinking in my head that this man needs exercise.
Oh, he eats a lot.
Yeah, this man needs exercise. How does your mind work, my dear friends? How does your mind work? Let your mind work correctly so that you can be blessed, and even God can give you the privilege of coming close. You see, being close
has a lot of benefit, because when you are close, you hear things that people don't hear. When you are close, you know secrets that nobody knows. And when you are close, you know even the greater truths about truths. That's why John was chosen to give this revelation. All these revelations. Daniel was chosen. Said, thou art greatly loved. When the angel was coming with him with the visions, you are loved. You are loved so much by God. Have all these secrets. Know all these secrets. He was a darling boy of Jesus. John was the darling boy of Jesus. I hear he was much younger. Some people think he was about 16 when he was following the Lord. Yeah. He was the darling boy of Jesus. Yeah. Jesus really liked him. I mean, think about it. He didn't give his... I don't know whether Jesus' attitude towards Peter changed. The day he told him, Satan, get thee behind me. I wouldn't be surprised. Because one appointment that he had, and he became familiar. He was rebuking the Lord. Be far from thee. Just one day you were told, you'll be the what? Rock, on this rock I'll build my church. Then look at how he started talking. Some people cannot handle closeness, power, and all these things. They are not good at it. Yes. Amen. He began to rebuke God. God, I rebuke you. Get out, God. Shut your mouth, God. Just from one little appointment. When Jesus was on the cross, he looked and saw the disciples. Peter was far away. Yes. When Jesus was being slapped and beaten, when his eyes opened, he looked and he saw Peter warming his feet by the fire. He was wriggling his toes. Peter was by the fireside, getting warmer. He just looked at him and said, this man that I've appointed. Sometimes you appoint people, you wonder whether you've chosen the wrong person. Did I make a mistake when I chose you to be close to me? When he was on the cross, a will of somebody, it reveals a lot. The will of somebody. He said, I bequeath my wife, my mother, to John. And Peter said, pardon? Peter was nowhere. He was nowhere around. Mary Magdalene was there. John was there. When it came to visions, Mary Magdalene saw Jesus in the garden. Mary Magdalene was close to Jesus. He came and appeared to her. So where have they laid my master? She loved even his dead body. This is not a love to marry somebody. She loved even his body. Where is the body? Where is the body? Then the gardener appeared. Why? Who are you looking for? Then she said, do you know what I'm looking for? Where is he? And she thought it was the gardener. But the Lord had appeared, supposing him to be the gardener. Jesus said to her, this is what we call a vision that is physical. Vision. Yeah. The person is physical. Do you want one of those visions? Physical. It's not a screen. It's physically there. She supposed him to be the gardener. And she said, sir, if thou hast borne him, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Peter was far away. Asleep Easter Sunday morning. He was far away. Yes. So I tell you, personal guys, if you can ever be a personal assistant, it's a great thing. But
You know, it takes a certain way of thinking. And some of you, your minds don't work well. Yeah. Some people, you are close, you can do everything. You can see everything, know everything, touch everything. You'll be okay. How to be a personal assistant? Number one, accept the personal choices of the man of God. You must accept people choose what they want and change what they choose. Mark 3:13. He goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came and ministered unto him. Amen. Nobody can choose an assistant for me or a personal assistant for me. Amen. What do you think? Yes, you cannot. Because you will never understand what I want. And you have to accept it. That's even your first step. You can't come and tell people, choose this person. That's what we have sometimes in these governments. They are under pressure to choose certain people. People whom they don't even know. If I was to be a president, I know who would be my minister for roads, my minister for building, my minister for finance. I know them all already. And they don't have to be in that area, specialists in that area. He called who he wanted. Even my wife cannot choose for me who should assist me. She doesn't know who's to assist. Yeah, neither can you choose my wife for me. I have to choose her. Myself. Yeah. You can't choose people for people. And you have to learn to accept people that people have chosen. Anybody who loves a person that I have chosen, I always notice that my heart warms towards that person. Because I can also see that sometimes I've chosen somebody and some people don't accept those people. Yeah. So I notice, you see, I notice it. So this is how God also feels when he's chosen somebody to work with the person and you don't also flow with the person. They don't accept it. It has a certain effect on God. Because you are telling God that you are a stupid fool. How can you choose somebody like this? How do you choose idiots? How do you choose the wrong people? How did you choose this man as a pastor? How can you make this person an evangelist? Who did you choose something better? So when I choose somebody to work for me, and you reject that person, and you refuse to also flow with that person, you are rejecting me. And when you love the person, I feel love. I've noticed all through. I just watch people's relationship with the people that I've chosen. Yes. One day, one of the people who assist me on that various things said to me, she met one of my bishops. He said that the bishop looked after them. He said, "You are the only person who looks after us like that. The way he looked after us and cared for us, did this to you." He said, I've never heard anybody say that. Apart from you, no one looks after us or cares. But this one, when he met her, he just took over and cared for us. You see, it will touch your heart. And you don't even know, because you don't know that maybe the reason why the person is doing that is because of his love for you. He sees that this is a person that you've chosen. That is why God has a big reaction to your rejection of people that he's chosen. He has a big reaction. Now he said, "Touch not my anointed." A lot of people die for touching his servants. Because you don't know why God chooses people. Yeah. Like, you know, one of the greatest mysteries of the whole Bible is David, a man after God's own heart. I mean, David is really a queer fellow to choose after your own heart. I mean, do you know any pastor in South Africa who has, killed his associate, organized the murder of his associate, and married his associate's wife? No, I'm asking if you know somebody like that in South Africa who has organized the murder of one of his top associates and then married the wife of the top associate.
And God says, this is a man after my own heart. Wow. The Bible was written, most of the Bible was written by three murderers. I'll say it again. Most of the Bible was written by three murderers. Murderer number one, Moses. He's wanted in Cairo. The Cairo that you say you are passing through is wanted in Cairo for murder. The second murderer is David, who's wanted for killing his, organizing the murder of his associate and marrying his associate's, that is murdered's wife. And third, Paul. Hey. Fantastic, isn't it? Yeah. So be careful with your acceptance and rejection of what God chooses. When you see God has chosen this person, accept the person, love the person. In so doing, you are loving God who chose that person. You are showing God you are wise. You are all wise. You know everything. Because some of us have not committed murder, but we are more than murderers. We are more wicked. Amen. Tell somebody, I'm accepting it. Whatever God chooses. Amen. Number two, accept the values of the man of God. Accept his values. Yes. Because everybody has something that is valuable. Somebody may value a singer. Benny Hinn traveled with singers all his life and ministry. Is it not true? That's what's valuable to him. Until you have a miracle ministry like Benny Hinn, I don't think you should have any comments about him having all these organists and singers and what have you. He traveled with a piano. He goes with a piano. Yeah, they go with a piano. International, with a piano, a grand piano. Huh? Because if he was to come here, I don't see any grand piano here, and he may need a grand piano. Well, I heard people complaining about that. Why should he come all the way here? You come with a grand piano, with this, with that, and all these people, and all that security, and all this, and all that, and all that, blah, 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 blah. That's why you don't have any healing ministry. Because you don't accept the values of the man of God. You will never know what it means for somebody who's singing or whatever. Yeah. Somebody, we don't know. Different types of people. Some people only work with virgins. Or somebody who is a genuine virgin. We have non-genuine virgins. It's early. Yeah. We have different types of women. And not all women. Somebody who knows a little about women will know there are different kinds of girls. If you ever have somebody working for you, there are different types of ladies. And not all ladies are suitable for working around. Yeah. There are some we call them hunters. She hunted for the precious life.
Many mighty men has she slain. There are some girls who have as many as 5 pastors in their pocket. Like pastors that they've been able to sleep with. And if they come to your church and you are not aware, they will soon become your personal assistants. Because they have a way. They have a skill. No, you see, it takes a skill to flow personally. And you find out they were here, they slew the man of God, they've come here, they slew that man, they've come to you, now you are the next. And they are working on you. And they are skilled, they understand your needs, they flow with you, they are flexible, they are understanding. Hey! When you say, hey, they understand what you are talking about. And others don't understand, but they understand. Before you realize, the person is at your right hand side. But she's a hunter. Yeah. She knows her way with men. And you, the man of God, you are just one of the men. Many mighty men. That is why your sexual history is not a secret. It must not be a secret. When you ask you, how many boyfriends have you had? One or two. One or two or 1 or 200? 1 or 2 or 1 or 200? Who are you? Tell us. Yes. We want to know. You can't come here with a darkened sexual history and sit there and just start understanding everything and flowing nicely. Tell us. Start from number one. And go through the list. Tell us. So that we know what are your plans as you are here. You don't like my message? We need to know. In the clinic, in the hospital, when you come, you give your, we call it PMH, your past medical history, your past social history, your family history. Many things in the history tell us about you and what is going to happen. We need to know your family. It's called ODQ, on direct questioning. Wow. You directly question the patient. Is there anybody in your family with madness? Yes. Ah, then you see, we can see that it may be coming back through the family. It's coming. Is there anybody in your family with this? Have you had this before? Even your social history, where have you worked? The work you've done before can reveal the sickness that is coming up now. You can't walk into the church and start, here I am, Lord, send me. Yes, you are here. But tell us and wrap those banana leaves and let us see what is inside. Where were you before you came here? You'll be surprised. One day I saw a pastor. He had a very powerful personal assistant. This lady was, she understands the pastor's needs. She flows. When the pastor says it, she understands it. Nobody understands, but she understands everything that he wants. Yes.
She flows with him. Everything. She gets it done. You know, there are some people, they will make things happen. She was like that. But I didn't know who it was. So I asked, what is the name of that powerful making it happen sister? When her name was mentioned, I said, oh no. Yeah, because where she was before, that was her work. And she slew the pastor straight. She ended his ministry and she's coming. But the pastor doesn't know her. I said, you don't know who is the assistant here. This is her mission. She herself may not know what she's doing. Yeah. Yeah. And I won't tell you some more details of this story. I wouldn't bother to tell you. Because I don't know, it will upset you. Yeah. So people come around. Yeah, because things, you see, there are people, I tell you, they are not suitable. Yeah, they are not suitable. No. Yeah. Look, it's not every girl who looks, and as she's looking at you, what type of girl is this? Her mouth is watering as she's looking at you. Her vagina is leaking as she's looking at you. Pulsating with blood vessels and veins as she's looking at you. Wow! Do you want somebody with a pulsating vagina standing by you, looking at you? Leaking. Leaking. No, not every girl is like that. Many girls are not like that. They're happy to be in the house of the Lord. But there are some, I tell you, as they see you, their mouths are watering. One day a sister finished having fornication with the man of God, and as she was putting on her panties, after she had finished fornication, she said, I've waited 5 years for this. I've waited 5 years for this opportunity. I've waited five years for this opportunity.
Patiently.
All my stories are true. Are you still here or you are going home? It's up to you. As the nearest sister, are things pulsating in you? Are things pulsating in you? Hey! Number three. Accept the man of God's need for genuine friends. Every man of God needs friends. David had a friend called Hushai, the Archite. 2 Samuel 15, verse 37. 2 Samuel 15, verse 37. Look at it on the screen. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Who is this? Hushai, David's friend. Amen. King Solomon also had a friend called Zabud.
King Solomon's friend was a man called Zabud. 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 5. 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 5. Zabud. May you be a king's friend. And Azariah, the son of Nathan, was over the officers. And Zabud, the son of Nathan, was principal officer and the king's friend. He was the king's friend. Pastors need friends. Kings need friends. Important people need, they don't only need servants or people just who follow their, somebody who is also a friend. And sometimes a personal assistant can provide just friendship. But you may not know, what does this person do? I don't see the work of this person. I don't know what, but the person is a friend. And the friendship is Zabud. He needs it. Don't react to people that become important, because not everybody has the skill of being a friend. Some people don't know how to even chat. Their chatting is boring. Some people don't know what to say next. It's true. My wife, you'll never be bored if you are with her. Even when you call her, you forget why you called her. She will take over and tell you so many things. You will never have a quiet moment. Yeah, she will. One day I was traveling somewhere to the next city, five hours. And I mean, I just noted from where she started chatting. No, I just say, yes, okay, no, true, yes, true. Well, and she'll be going. 5 hours. Hey! I cannot sleep. And it's good. You need that when you are driving. You don't fall asleep. It's a skill. It's a skill. Some people, when you see them, they'll be talking. Yes, please. Yes, please. At a point, you say, can you go out, please? Go out. Just go out of the room, please. I prefer to be alone. I feel nervous. Your presence makes me nervous. Your presence makes me nervous. I don't know what to say. I have to say something to keep the conversation going. You become scared and tense because of the person. So not everybody has the ability to be a friend. Zabud was the king. He had even two roles. Like, he had a job in the government, but he was also the king's friend. King is able to play golf with him. King is able to chat with him. King is able to tell it, come, let's... Because a king is also a normal person. He may be big, whatever, but he's a human being. He also needs a friend. Wow. You are receiving the ability to be the friend of a king. I'm sure President Zuma has friends. He must have friends. Jesus Christ had friends. His friends were Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Amen. John 11. You see it right there. Jesus loved Martha and her sister. Amen. You need people where... John 11 verse 5, you see that Jesus loved these people. And he used to go to them. He used to eat in their homes. He used to eat them. They would have quarrels in front of him. And he was used to going there. For Jesus to be relaxed enough to go and eat in somebody's house. I can't even imagine anybody's house I will go to eat today. I can't even imagine anybody's house I'll go to. I'm coming to eat in your house. If I think about it, I don't know whose house I would go to eat. And Jesus was so much friends with these people. And that's why when Lazarus died, they just called for him. You know, said, come. Yeah. Your friend Lazarus sleepeth. John 11, verse 11. This is said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. I'm going. He's my friend. Lazarus is my friend. When you get to heaven, you see Lazarus. He's a friend of Jesus. Yeah. He's the friend of Jesus Christ. A friend of Jesus Christ. You have to accept Jesus' choice to go to Mary and Martha's house. You have to accept it. You can't fight it. You can't fight it. Once you fight another person's presence and another person's choice, the fact that that person has been chosen, you fight it. You are fighting your ability to ever be chosen. Because why should that person not be chosen, but you should be chosen? Why should you be chosen when you don't want somebody else to be chosen for anything? Why should you ever be chosen for anything? When you are blocking the choice, the choosing of somebody, everybody, you don't want that person to be around. I don't want this person. This person should go. Delete this one. This one must go. She is not good. This is not good. That is not good. And then we must choose you. Why choose you when you don't want anybody else to be chosen? You have to accept the king's choice. Amen. Number four. Accept the humble duties of a personal assistant. Wow. A personal assistant has a lot of humble duties. Joshua was a personal servant of Moses. Joshua. And he became the leader of Israel. Elisha was the personal assistant to Elijah. Becoming a personal assistant may be the door to the anointing for your life. Number five, accept the spiritual opportunities that come with personal service. If ever God gives you the opportunity to work with Bishop Moses Sono, all right, accept the wonderful spiritual opportunity. See him as a treasure to learn from. See him as somebody to, it's like, what am I here for? And you are here for a spiritual reason. Mark chapter 3 verse 14. He ordained 12 that they should be with him. The reason why he ordained them was that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. People who have not been with you are not good when you send them out. They don't do well when you send them out. Because they have not been with you enough. So being with you is a great learning opportunity and a great spiritual opportunity so that you can be sent out. Hallelujah. There are many of you, Grace Bible Church people, you've been around but you've not learned much. Because you can be around but you will not learn much. Yeah. Some of you, you leave church before your pastor has left. You are leaving before he's left. Huh? I'm coming to get you. I said, you leave before he leaves. Why should you leave before he leaves? If you are his assistant. You assist him until he's out. When he's out, then you can take care of yourself. When he's eating, then you can take care of your food. But so I'm angry and I'm sorted myself. I mean, he should also find a way to sort himself out. You are not learning. Anybody who is here, you are assisting your pastor. Remember that you are an assistant and subject yourself to learn. The person has something you don't have. Oh, he does have something we don't have. But it's just that he was here before. Shut up. Don't even start. When we were in Korea, I was in Korea with Bishop Musa. Some of the people who came with him, they left Korea before he left. I watched all of them. I saw them leaving. And I was wondering why they were leaving. Because the next day was a prayer mountain which Bishop Musa was attending. And they were not there. But they have left. It's like, what we've come to do, we are leaving. I saw them leaving. You must understand why you are there. You don't know what he's doing. What is he doing? Why is he there? Why is he staying? You are leaving. And he should stay. Oh, you have things to do. What things do you have to do that is better than being with him? Come on. Grow up. Grow up. I'm telling you. Grow up. And this church, the church is not based on how old you are, who you are, what you learned in school, whatever. If it is your school that God, then why don't you go and build the church? You see, Bishop Moses is standing around at the car park. You've all left. You hang around. So my people, I know they don't leave till I leave. They actually make me go home too early sometimes. But I realize if I don't go, nobody will go home. I have to drive them away with a cane. Go home, everybody. Go. And they always disobey me about going home. You're feeling us too big. Oh, I got to go with my family. You're what? Who doesn't have a family? Learn how to be a personal assistant and assist somebody. Oh. What do you mean? You see, as pastors are there, their children are around sleeping. Everybody's waiting. It's like there's something to be done. He must be doing something important. Start to elevate your pastor. Otherwise, you will not be elevated ever by anything or by anybody. I'm telling you. And you see, apartheid made you rise up against authorities and say, all of you people who are over us, clear away. But what has happened is that after the white people have been cleared away, it's like whatever authority is there, you also still, it's like you were swiping your hand like this. And now that the white people have gone, so what else is there? And that, you have never heard any country speak to their president like the way South Africans speak to the president. In the whole world, I've never heard anybody without respect, without honor. Yes. No. He's your president, chosen by due process to be your president by you. But you see, it is the reaction to apartheid is a continuing thing that is happening now. And then it's in the church. You strike against pastor. You can't tell us. You can't just tell us to come at 6 o'clock. You can't tell us whatever. You can't call. When we have crusades, you can't call the people to come quiet. You can't call them. The pastors cannot call them. It's only those who have been a little in ISI training and so on that you see the churches are a little different. You can't tell them what to do. You can't come from your country and tell us what to do here. That is the standard response we get. You can't come and just tell us what. Even a pastor's meeting where you are talking in spirit, the pastor will stand up and say, don't talk to us like that. Wow. When I see an honorable person like Bishop Mosa, I will always fight for his honor in this church till I die. I tell you, I will always fight for his honor in this church. Yes. And I will fight for you to honor him. If you don't honor him, I will be your enemy. Yes. I will be your enemy. I don't care if I don't have any friends left in this church. Yes. You are here to help. Don't leave. Stay. Hang around. We are all around. We are... Pastor is busy, he's doing meetings. We don't know what he's doing, but he must be doing something important. He must be doing something important. That's why he's still here. So we have to leave. Then he'll come out, walk lonely, quietly, alone to the car. Nobody is with him. Nobody's. Every important person has gone, and it's like here he comes all alone. He will walk into his car to go. And you are carrying his own. And you are here. And you say you are assistant. You say you are learning. You are learning what? How will you learn how to stay long enough to solve all the problems? The problems that we have in the church, it's not just what you see are problems. So there are other things that are not seen that are big issues that we are fighting. I say, Bishop Mosa, I was in Korea. I saw your people walking out of the hotel and leaving, and I noted it. I said, no, these people should not be leaving now. Is it that Bishop Moses hasn't, what is it that he needs, that he is going to prayer mountain to go and listen to whatever? He's not preaching. But what about the others? What did they come to do there? What did they come to learn? What
What about this conference? Give thyself holy. You see, some of you will leave. So we can't come in the morning, so we can't come. The preaching is enough. We've heard, we know what it is. Listen, you know. But he, look at him sitting there. You see, bigness leads to nothing. When you are big, you become nothing. I say, when you are big, you become nothing. Teach these things to your children and to your members, all of us from different, many of you pastors, you are not honored in your churches. You are not honored, you are not respected. You are given this type of South African equalization. You can't tell us what to do. Don't accept it. Start to teach the people step by step. The people do what they are taught. And gradually, as you teach them, they will all change. They will all change. Because we have a lot of South Africans. So many.
Yeah.
They don't talk that way. They are just normal. They are also my children. Nobody will just walk out and say, leave what you sort out yourself. No, no, no. They are just the same. It's because of the lack of teaching. We don't have such topics. Yes. That's why I'm teaching it. You know, I don't care if I'm not popular. You get what I'm saying? I'm preaching. You want to be popular. I don't want to be popular. You want to be popular. He ordained 12 that they should be with him. And you've left him. Number 6. Understand the dangers of familiarity in personal service. John 7, verse 5. Neither did his brethren believe in him. Why didn't his brethren believe in him? Because they are bathed with him. They are eating chitanyama with him. They had played with him. So they didn't believe in him. Watch out. Many of us, the way you are, when you have a chance to even be close, you should say, you know, it's okay, I don't want to. I'm okay where I am. It's dangerous for me. If I come near, too near, it may affect me. So instead of always forcing to be too close, rather honor from where you are. Position. Yes. And grow in honor and in your thinking. Rather than saying, I want to go to Bishop Moses' house to iron his shirt. Hey. By the time you come to iron his shirt and come back, the things you'll be saying about him or his wife, we will wish you never darkened the doorway of our house. Oh, Bishop, I want to wash your car. Don't wash my car. It will not be good, because as you are washing the car, you'll be looking inside. Hey! Look at what is in the car! Hey! Not good for you. Not good for you to even. Sometimes I see people trying to wash. Don't wash my car. I said, don't wash. I don't like when people wash my car. Don't touch my things. Don't carry my Bible. Don't carry my iPad. Don't carry anything for me. I don't like it. Don't take my bag. When you meet you, don't carry my bag. I myself will give. Before I carry my bag, say, hey, the bag is heavy. What is in the bag? What I'm saying, is it not true? Yeah. And it comes in the name of respect. No. Just stay. It's not, for some of us, it is not a good thing for us. We don't do well when we come near. Neither did his brethren believe in him. Learn, when your mind starts working correctly, I tell you, you see the same thing. Even when you see a man of God having a problem or a temptation or a difficulty, you admire him, depending on how your mind is working. If your mind is working well, you actually even admire him that, hey, in spite of all this problem, look at what he's able to do. On the other hand, you may see that same problem and say, you see, all his preaching, look at what problem he has. So it goes two ways. Instantly. So watch out for familiarity when you are in personal service. Amen. Number seven, quickly. Avoid the dangers of being unspiritual when you are around a spiritual person. Avoid the dangers of being unspiritual when you are around a spiritual person. Now, many people are unspiritual when they are with a spiritual person. That's a great danger. For instance, Mary and Martha in Luke 10:41. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. So you see that Martha was close to Jesus, but her spirituality was not so high. Now, I have so many people around me, and I can tell the different levels of spirituality of everybody around me. Not that like I know it, but like I can sense different levels. Some are more spiritual, some are less spiritual. Some of the people around me are spiritual, some are not so spiritual. And I'm saying that you got to be careful of being unspiritual around a spiritual person. Like the person prays, but you don't pray. It's like he's prayed, but you don't pray. The person is listening to, like you can be close to somebody and you will rather not hear the messages. You may not listen to the podcast. But others who are far away will be listening to the podcast and growing spiritually. But you who are walking close to the person, you will not even be hearing the message. It happens a lot to ushers. They will be in the church, working in the church, and almost everything they don't hear because they are around, but they don't get the chance to pray and flow and listen as others do. Technical team, they'll be watching the screens, and the person who is doing the screen is probably not hearing the message well because he's alert to bring onto the screen the scriptures as quick as... Is it Ajay who is doing this? Yeah. And you see, Grace Bible Church, you get a guy who is very good at the screen like that. The guy, I brought him from Ghana. He's the one doing this. That's as soon as I say, it comes. It's a skill. It's a skill. Like you preach, he's just helping you. What you say, he knows what you want to say. Brings it up. It's a skill. And skill, you see, men of, you are chosen when you have skills. Yeah. It's a skill. Wow. So be careful of being unspiritual. Oh, it's a lot of people. I remember one guy was with him. All spiritual activities, I used to go around with him, visiting people, praying, and everything. But he wasn't that spiritual. I didn't even know. And then one day, our paths parted because he went to a school, a different place. And I think he even went to London and so on. And after some time, I found him no more in the house of the Lord. Completely backslidden. And I was amazed because this guy was my personal assistant. When I started the ministry of visitation, he was the one I went everywhere with. We went to backsliders' homes. We traveled here together. We went here. But he completely backslid. So one day, I visited him in his backsliding state. When I got there, and I sat there, I said, "Brother, what are you doing here?" Then he told me, "I know the scriptures you are going to quote." I didn't quote. Look, I tell him, I didn't get the chance to quote. He quoted the scriptures. "I know you are going to say, as a dog returns to his vomit, so a backslider is going back to his own way." So many things. He would just quote. And I just stood there, sat there, stand. Then he took a photo album and gave it to me that I should look through the pictures. So I started looking through the pictures.
was smoking. Another picture, some girl was lying on him, was taking pictures, different things. Then he said, I know the scripture you are going to quote. Then he quote it for me. He said, I know everything I'm going to say. I should be careful with this story because I can easily mention his name. Yeah, all my stories are true. Yeah. Like he was around me, but he wasn't as spiritual. He was my assistant, but he wasn't spiritual. And so when there was a slight change, he went off course. So watch out for people who are around but not spiritual. They can also misunderstand things and misinterpret things. Are you there? Number 8, accept the opportunity to become part of a new family. Amen. Mark 3:33. Amen. What does it say? And he answered them saying, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? Huh? Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? Verse 34. He looked around on them and said, behold my mother and my brethren. Verse 35. Whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Amen. You are going to have a new spiritual family when you come close and work in the house of the Lord. Amen. Who is my mother? Who is my father? Who is my brother? Amen. Those who hear the word of God and obey it. So people who are flowing with you and are obeying, they become your family. You are receiving a new family today. And you are walking higher in the will of God. Stand to your feet, everybody.